We give thanks to the Lord. You know, sometimes things unexpected come up. And I always thank the Lord for the wildlife way out in the fields. I don't want to see them. We did see a couple snuck up there to watch the people of God drive by. That's what I always say. But they stayed where they belonged. But I don't necessarily pray about the domestic animals. And last night we're coming along the road and there's a horse standing alongside the road. It turned around and left. I said, boy, Lord, I got to remember to pray, keep everything off the road. I'm thankful to God that he did protect Vicki and Rachel, because a tipped over truck in the middle of their vehicle might not have been a great start of a wedding trip. God is so good and so faithful. Something that Wayne said, something that came out just at the end as we were singing, something that God had spoken to me about on the way home, and about praying, believing. And what does it mean to pray, believing? It's not so much the idea of believing for the answer, but believing who we're praying to. If we believe who we are praying to, first and foremost, then anything that we ask will be done, but we pray, as John said, believing, knowing that he heard us, and knowing that if we know that he heard us, because we don't pray to some abstract idea, we don't pray, well, because it's something to do. We don't pray because, well, we hope it helps. We pray because we know the one in whom we believe. You remember Paul said that once, I know in whom I believe. It's important for us to know who we believe. See, because if we're confident of who we pray to, then we'll be confident of what we pray about. But if we're not real confident in who we pray to, you know, like when I was a child, I would go to my dad to get things if I could get them. A childhood memory was we would, after school, go down to Ellerton Hardware, and Brad would go to his dad, and his dad would give him a quarter. And I would go to my dad, and he would give me a nickel. And I felt like the nickel was really pretty good, but I really looked forward to the day when my dad would give me a quarter. Well, ultimately, he gave me more than a quarter. But, you know, the thing is that I didn't go to Brad's dad to ask him, even though Brad's dad was kind enough, he probably would have given me something too, but I didn't go to him. I went to my dad because I knew my dad. And I actually knew that every time I went to my dad, there wasn't going to be a nickel either. But sometimes there was and sometimes there wasn't. And I never felt poverty stricken, but I did recognize the difference between a nickel and a quarter. But what that did do was make me better at pinball, because I could play a long time on a nickel. What's that got to do with anything? Not a lot. But just saying that to pray believing him, in him, to pray because we know in who we believe, and in doing that, then we're praying believing. We don't want to get distracted by the idea that who we believe in is in any way affected by the outcome of our prayers, because God is the same always. Scripture says he is always the same. So he is unshakable. When I was reading the word this week where it says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And then it says that it one more time, the words once again, the shaking once again will show us that everything that was created will be destroyed. That is the things that can be shaken. So it's not saying everything God created, but he's saying everything created will be shaken. Those things that can be shaken. Well, God can't be shaken. His promises can't be shaken. His creation is not trembling over what man has made. But the whole creation trembles waiting upon the Lord. Why does creation tremble waiting upon the Lord? Because creation knows him, the one that we pray to, the one that we trust, the one that we expect from. Creation knows that everything God said is going to happen is going to happen. Creation doesn't know when it's going to happen. They're just in anticipation. We don't know when it's going to happen. We know something's going to happen. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And people try to figure out, well, yes, we know it's going to be like this, and we're going to know it's going to be like this. Will we actually see large creatures with tails running around stinging people? I don't know. I don't think so. But I think we're being stung sometimes now. Does that make sense? I don't have to know all of that. I have to know him. Because if I know him, I won't be shakable. Amen. Those things that can be shaken. And so when I think about that, I think about the fact that I need to make sure that every now and then I check myself and find out what's shakable, what's shaky, what is shaking, and what is unshakable. Well, I'm confident of one thing. My faith and trust in God is not shakable. It may get battered once in a while, but when it comes down to me actually looking at God, when I quit looking at circumstances, when I quit listening or hearing the wrong things, and I just look at God, I go, oh yeah, that's not shakable. Because he's not shakable. You know, I've never been that I know of for sure, absolutely, like in an earthquake. I've been in places where people said they felt something move, so maybe I was, but I've never actually been in one. But people who are earthquake people who know about earthquakes, you know, they know enough to steady themselves. They grab something steady. They know to get away from things that aren't steady. You know, it's kind of the thing of like the roads were really good coming home last night, but there was just one little sketchy part going across from Reliance to Fort Thompson where, you know, there was some little ice on the road and stuff like that. And Vicki said, this looks pretty slick. I said, well, it is in places, but there's enough solid stuff there that it's not really a problem because the tires will catch something solid, you know. And we've always got something solid in the Lord. And so that's what we need to remember too, is grab a hold of that, not grab a hold of a leaf tossing in the wind or something like that. We know to get to something solid, don't we? If I'm on a ladder and the ladder starts to move, I know enough not to hold on to the ladder. I know enough to try to get a hold of the wall. Has anybody besides me ever thought about the idea of like when a ladder's going down, that if you can time your jump just right, you know, like 2 feet off the ground, that then it'll be like falling only 2 feet? I've tried to figure out why that doesn't work, you know, because I've gone down on ladders before and I've tried to get off just at 2 feet, but I hit just like I came from 14 feet. But it makes sense that if I just lift up at the last second, I should just lightly land, right? It doesn't work. There's something about that gravity pull that gets in the way of it. But with God, if we will just, we may be in a free fall. The enemy may be trying to convince us this is it, but we can jump off at any place and have that soft landing. Now, sometimes it takes a lot for people to jump off. I have great news. It's a great story, and about my motorcycle buddy from Pier, and he had a problem, and then he sort of had the problem fixed, and then the problem got unfixed, and then he lost his job, and then he was in his his mode of, this is it, buddy. And I said, no, it's not it. You just keep your head up, though. You'll be okay. Well, I got a call from me, and he was telling me he was having to go for a PBT. And the problem that he had was is that he blew hot one time, which ended him up in jail, which kept him from getting to work. And his boss fought with corporate headquarters to try to keep him because he's really a good worker. He just needs to be done with that. And he called me. He said, I just got to let you know. He said, last night, I just gave it all to God. You know, he said, that it's got to change. He said, now I know I can change, but I got to get through this PBT. And I said, okay, you're going to be fine. He said, do you think it'll be okay? I said, did you drink again? Well, yeah, but it's been 12 hours. I said, well, let's just believe God it'll be okay. He said, because if it isn't, this is it. I said, no, wait a minute. You just said you gave it all over to God, but now you're telling me this is it. So don't give me that this is it stuff. Well, if I don't get through. Well, sure enough, he made it through the PBT. And he said, okay. He said, I want you to know. He said, I had my letters written to my kids. I had my pictures there and everything. I had my gun with me. If I failed that PBT, I was going to shoot myself right there in front of all those people. That was it. I said, well, God has blessed you. And every day since then, he's been good, going out, finding work, working at it. And I believe that that's, you know, but it sometimes takes a lot. Now, you see, Josh saw the horse fall off the chair and decided probably that wasn't going to be a good idea. Aren't you glad that he didn't try to figure out a way to get that baby to sit there right, you know? But he got off before he got hurt. Sometimes people don't jump off the ladder for a safe landing until the last second, but the important thing is to get off of that. See, remember last week, the devotion that we didn't have, that we now do have, but we talked about his story, and his story being a simple thing. God's story is a simple one. And if we would just believe the simplicity of Christ, the simple part of the story, then we wouldn't need this part of the Bible this thick to give us lessons, because we would just simply believe, well, God made everything, that's good enough for me, that's his story, I'm just going to trust his story. We would be able to believe the way that the early believers did, because they didn't all have an Old Testament, nor did they have a New Testament. They just had to believe God. But they had some struggles, and so Paul wrote to them and taught them how to take care of their struggles. The mother of the bride. Anyway. But, you know, I mean, it's just real simple. God made everything. So if we believe God made everything, we believe God can handle everything. You know, I do. I don't have any problem with, you know, keeping people from throwing their papers out the window and fluttering the ditches. And I don't have any problem with them thinking we need to be a little careful about pollution. I guess, you know, honestly, if you do a little research on all of this, you'd discover that about all of the pollution concerns have done is make somebody real rich trying to keep the pollution down. I think, you know, this is just crazy. When we believe God, we certainly know that he made this earth with enough filters to last until it's done. We can pollute this baby till nobody can breathe, but it's not going to end until God says so. And we're not going to be without breath because God's filters work. And every time they think they've figured out that they don't, they find out that they do. Because if his filters don't work, why wouldn't we be more concerned about those countries where they just, boom, their pollution is off the ramp, you know? Oh, we say we're concerned, but it's not them, it's all us. So anyway, that's my rant on that. But his story is that he made everything, and if he made everything, he can take care of everything. And he made everything, and when he made everything, he made it, and he wanted to give it to somebody. Who do you want to give it to? You and me. Why do you want to give it to us? Because he thought so much of us. And he wanted us to take great comfort in the fact that he thinks so much of us. But a lot of people get fooled into thinking, well, God doesn't really care about me. Isn't it amazing? God has, I couldn't even guess how many times God kept me alive, and I'm certain he kept my friend alive a lot more times than that, but he passed the PBT, and that convinced him that God cares about him. You know? Well, you see, at that moment, that was the biggest thing. We've all had the biggest things arise in our lives. And usually the biggest thing is the biggest thing right at that moment. There's more big things coming. But when the biggest thing comes at that moment, the enemy does his best to keep us from seeing that God did something before that was more than efficient. He tries to keep us from looking at the other victories that we've had. You know, yesterday there were lots of people, they come to the wedding, they say, how you doing, Roger? So what, am I sick? You know something I don't know? You know, and I understand that we think it. And here's the deal. If I wasn't thinking that wedding was going to be good, I've been through the ones that I thought weren't good and I just let them slide, okay? This one wouldn't have happened that way. I'd have been one nasty daddy-in-law. I just wouldn't have let it happen. That's all there is to it. But I never thought about that. I prayed. You know, somehow I'd have stopped it. You know, whisker away, whatever the case. I at least they would have known that I wasn't involved. You know? But we have this idea, you know, this is supposed to be a difficult thing. Well, it could be a difficult thing, but I was thinking about that. And, you know, I watched Shiloh die. I watched the breath leave her body. I watched her lips turn blue on a table in an emergency room. And I watched the name of Jesus snap the seizure. And she was fine. There is evidence of it enough that eye doctors can tell you must have had a seizure at some time. She had one. They never figured out why she had one. But you see, I watched God raise her up. I certainly can trust God to watch her in her marriage. It's a natural thing. I'm glad. I'm glad she married a man. In this day and age, sometimes people don't do that. That would have been another issue between us. Wouldn't have had a problem with that. We'd have fixed that, you know. But I mean, what I'm saying is that God's story is a simple one. And taking shakeable and making it unshakeable is just as simple if we'll do it. You know, the idea is just to fix it. You know, I've got a couple of windows that I've been thinking about replacing at the house, and for the last few years it's been more obvious that I need to replace them, but each spring I end up putting screws in to hold it into the frame because it tries to fall out. And this year it fell out. Well, this time I really fixed it. I took pieces of board and I screwed the pieces of board into a deeper part of the frame. Then I screwed a bigger piece of board over the top of those boards. Those babies are going to be there in the spring. I think maybe next year I might go ahead and replace them because I didn't get them painted. So if you need to see where I fixed my window, all you got to do is drive into the back of our yard and you'll see this window with pieces of particle board over it. But that baby ain't coming out now. I fixed it. I knew how to fix it. I knew where my screw gun was. I went and I found some screws, and I fixed that baby. And it'd have been uglier if it wouldn't have fixed as easy as it did, because it was going to get fixed. You know? And this is the kind of determination we need to have when it comes to our faith. We need to wait a minute, I'm shaking here. I shouldn't be shaking here. God's unshakable, so I'll steady myself on Him. I will grab on to God. You know, I mean, listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with being physical and visual about your faith. I mean, if you need to sometime, there wouldn't be anything wrong with just going like this and somebody say, what in the world are you doing? I say, I'm grabbing a hold of something unshakable. I got a hold of God. You see, the people who don't understand that would say, well, that's just a figment of your imagination. I don't see God. I don't care if you see God or not. I got a hold of God. And I'm not letting go until I don't feel shaken anymore. Vicky's brother one time, I've told this story before probably, but everybody hasn't heard it, and you maybe haven't remembered it, but her brother one time was a problem child in Alaska, and so they sent him down for us to take care of. Did I volunteer for that? I did. Okay, so you see, sometimes the alcohol really had a bad effect on me. But anyway, I volunteered for that. Okay, so we brought him down to put him to work. Wow. Just worthless on steroids. I'm not kidding you. He just was. But you know, I got him to work sometimes, but sometimes he just didn't work so good. One time we were painting a grain elevator in Chicago, and there was this place that was very, very high, and there was a little roof there, and we were working on a wall here, and he was supposed to be working on the wall here, and I came up, and I'm looking, and he's just standing there and looking around, and I waited. I was pretty patient. I waited. He didn't even bother to work. I came up behind him and said, "Huh!" And I grabbed him, and I pulled him back. But he wasn't sure which way he was going. Now, I want to tell you, he didn't get a lot of work done the rest of that day, but he didn't stand at the edge looking around anymore. He stayed close to the wall and at least pretended to do something, you know? And so he was pretty glad that I was holding on to him. He was pretty glad that I did pull him back in. And I don't recollect that he even had too much awful to say to me about that. I don't remember for sure that he even, I think maybe he didn't talk. I think maybe he was speechless. But you know, the thing is that when we're confident in who we believe, when we're confident in him and in his story, then we grab a hold of him. And we've got to recognize when we are shaking and we are out of control. All we got to do is recognize that. And maybe we need to be willing, and boy, this one's a tough one sometimes. We need to be willing when somebody else says, "Grab a hold of Jesus," to say amen and not let the enemy rise up and say, "Don't you tell me that." Vicki loves to talk to me after I've preached and mention little things about what I preached. Because she thinks it'll throw me off course. Don't be trying to nail me with my own preaching. I already know. I'm convicted. I know. But you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I know, we all know that sometimes the Word of God comes right at us. And man, we hold up a shield because it's like, it's hitting tender spots. But it's hitting those tender spots to heal them, to make us aware, to help us to see, and to move us back then from shakable to unshakable. You know? I mean, sometimes in the midst of this, just full of peace, nothing absolutely could go wrong. Wedding, there were little blurps. My girls have these little things that happen between mothers and daughters and daughters and daughters, and you know, and so then I am just the referee, and so I maybe mention things, you know, and Vicki would sometimes say, "I'm sick of this, and I'm not having anything else to do with it." "Oh, no, you can handle this. You can handle this." To try to gently steer her to grabbing a hold of the one that is unshakable. Well, you know, sometimes we know, but our response, "I know that," is not necessarily a one of, "Hey, hallelujah, I know that." It's more of a, "You don't know what I'm going through." Because isn't that how we always feel? When we're going through something and somebody just so simply says, "Trust God," and we think, "Well, I know about trusting God, but you don't know what I'm going through." Well, no, I don't. But I don't have to know what anybody's going through. I just need for them to trust God and just be free. I've been, how many years? When did we pick up that first motorcycle? How many years have I been visiting with this friend of mine and telling him and God propping him up and trying to get there? And all of a sudden, it's starting to make sense. He got his Bible and marking in it. What he could never understand, he's starting to understand. But what he found out was that all the shakable stuff won't hold you up, but the unshakable will. And the enemy's desire in life is to convince us that God didn't mean what God said. He started it out. I mean, our first lesson in Genesis is, no, God said not. And the enemy said, "Oh, surely God won't do what God said he would do." And there began the deception to take it away from that. And any time we come off and away from the unshakable God, guess what? We get shaky. Now, we're fortunate that's been given to us to understand, but that same understanding's out there for everyone. And that's why Jesus said, listen, go and make disciples. You know, Lord, make me a disciple so I can make disciples. Lord, I need a little discipling right now. Lord, I need a strong tower. Oh, wait, you're my strong tower. You're high and mighty. You're greater than this. To grab a hold of that. Don't let go until you feel safe. Vicky's brother did not want me to let go. I pulled him clear back to the wall. He didn't resist. He didn't try to run away out over the edge. He was backpedaling with me, and we got against the wall, and then he felt safe. Sometimes we come to things, we may have to back up and look at them. Because while we're backed up looking at them, we got a chance to get out. Sometimes we just plow right on ahead. You know, sometimes people, well, I got faith in God, and they just plow right ahead. But if you got faith in God going the wrong way, it's not going to work out, you know? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, South Dakotans, Minnesotans, in snow, we know that if you can't keep going forward, you need to try to get back a ways and take another run at it, or you need to get back a ways and just stay out of it. You know, Mary thought she could get through the snowdrift because she had a four-wheel drive there in our backyard, but the snowdrift was taller than her height of her vehicle, and by the time she was done, four-wheel drive didn't do any good. Four-wheel spinning don't get any further than two-wheel spinning. But when we got two wheels back on the ground, we knew right where to go with that, didn't we, Mary? See, God tells us where to go. God tells us how to get places, but we got to stop to listen. We've got to recognize when it's shaky. If you're driving on nothing but ice, you're on shaky territory. You might want to slow down. It's not really fun, but if you're driving down the interstate on ice and somebody comes barreling by, most everybody's thought is, we'll see them later. You know, many, many times I've seen them later. They're right over there in the ditch. Doesn't mean you can't go in the ditch going slow too. But in truth, sometimes we see people that are just barging ahead. And sometimes when we see people just barging ahead, we might say something sometime. But then we have to remember not to grow weary of well-doing. And if they keep barging, maybe we need to keep at least trying to haze them, you know? It's like herding cattle, you know? Cattle, you don't necessarily stand right in front of them. At least you don't stand right in front of them without being ready to move, because sometimes they veer. Sometimes they just get this look in their eye like, oh, I've been waiting for this. You know, then you need to find a railing somewhere, or you need to get out of the way. You need to become a bullfighter, or you're going to get run over. But sometimes when you're trying to help someone, you might feel like you got run over. But it's always worth that effort to at least steady them a little bit. At least give them something to think about. You know, that's what we do at church. We just get something to think about. We get seeds to work with. We get tools that we can use, and then we get opportunities to see if we will use them, because this is what the Lord does. When you read your Bible, the same thing happens. You get little seeds planted. You get little thoughts. You get little things that kind of seem to enlighten things, and maybe you don't want to go at them right away, but the fact of the matter is that they're still there, and so you have that opportunity to change that which is shakable into that which is unshakable. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. It never gets boring. But what we have to know is look, only the things that can be shaken are going to be destroyed. So anything that we set next to the Lord, He can steady it. And we got to believe that He's doing it. The enemy tries to convince us, man, your life is out of control. This is out of control. You just can't go on with this. You can't go on with that. If this goes on, it's just not worth living, some people come to. And some people, when it comes to that point, it's just not worth living. Rather than grabbing a hold of what's not shakable, they shake away. Folks, you have a faith that's unshakable. You have a faith that's unshakable. Every single person has been given faith that is unshakable. We have it, but sometimes we have to take parts of it out of the closet that somehow have gotten put there. But as long as we remember that, look, I'm unshakable. My faith is unshakable. All I got to do is just get a hold of the unshakable one. Nothing's going to shake me. 1,000 may fall on my right hand and 10,000 on my left hand. It's not going to shake me. You know, they see some, I think it was in the hurricane in Oklahoma City or something like that, that a guy stepped out of his bathroom and that was the only thing in his house. Everything else was just gone. He said he was praying. Well, that's the only thing that could have kept that bathroom there. It wasn't made out of concrete. It wasn't made out of anything else that the house wasn't. How did that just stand and how did he make it, you know? And he might not even been so sure it was going to work, but at least he did his best to get a hold of something that was unshakable, and he had a testimony. I want a testimony. Don't you want a testimony? Don't you want a great testimony? Don't you want to have something that you can look at and that when you look at it, it just makes you go, yes. And when the time comes, when the door opens for you to just declare that testimony, that other people go, wow, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you stand it. It's a good thing to have those. And you only get those by standing on the promises of God. But here's another thing that'll help you to stay unshakable. Remember those things. Remember those things God has done for you. And it will build you up. I remember one morning we got the news, Jennifer, that you guys had been in an accident. But you were dandy. How good is God? How wonderful is that? What a thing to be thankful for. Amen. We wouldn't have beautiful Jennifer or Blake or Faith. But God's faithful. And we take a hold of those things that we look and we say, man, that's an unshakable moment. That's something that only God can do, and that's something that God did for me. That's an unshakable moment. So that when somebody wants to know if it's difficult for me to have Shiloh get married, and I can say, well, oh gee, no, I guess not. I watched her die. God brought her back. He can take care of this too. That's a testimony to the greatness of God. Give God an opportunity. And take the opportunity, when you give him the opportunity, to take note of the way that it was shaken, but it was only a tremor. And everything settled down. Amen? Oh, hey, I grant you, sometimes things seem like they're like a 19 on the Richter scale. You know, I don't even know if there is a 19 on the Richter scale. When we get that one, maybe there won't be anything. I don't know. I'm not smart enough on that. Maybe I should say 45. I think 45 might be beyond. I don't know what that would be, you know. I mean, because they talk about fives and sevens and nines and whatever. And sometimes we have things in our life that we think nine would be fun. You know, I wish I had a nine instead of a 47. You know, I mean, and sometimes we think of something that's about a 0.2, like it must be a 25. never had anything so bad. You know, because the enemy blows it up. You know, the Thanksgiving parade will come up on the TV and they'll blow those balloons up and they'll float over the city. And everybody watching them knows that they're not alive and that they're not real. But they like them. Well, as Christians, we need to know they're not alive and that they're not real. We shouldn't like them so much. Those things that get blown out of proportion. Those things that try to turn a little tremor into a big destruction. Hey, we have a faith that is unshakable. It's unwavering because the foundation of that faith is Christ. And man, when we lock on to that, then we are a solid foundation that others might come by. You know, if somebody's in a flood and they're floating by, not too many people slap the hand of somebody that'll try to help them out and get them out. You know, got a tire to throw to them, they grab the tire, they're trying to grab a hold of something that will last. And man, we got the only thing that's going to last, folks. You are unshakable in Christ. Make a declaration. Say, I'm unshakable.
I am unshakable.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Amen. Father, thank you that you've been faithful, you've been true, you've been steadfast from the beginning. And we do believe that you made everything good and you made everything good for us. And that you have made us unshakable. We believe that those who wait upon you, you will renew our strength. That we will run and not grow weary and walk and not fear. That we'll just mount up with wings as eagles. So I pray for every person here, Lord. I pray for every person in the realm of the voice, Lord. I just pray that everyone would take to heart the unshakable foundation of our faith. And that we would find a new strength and a greater trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.